Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News, and today I am joined, sort of, by Brendan Kleen of Locked On Suns. Well, technically, I joined Brendan on his show, Locked On Suns. He reached out to me to discuss in more detail on the podcast a conversation that we had just on Twitter DMs about a trade in the Locked On NBA mock draft that is airing this week. And so I was picking for the Warriors at number 2. He was picking for the Suns at number 10. We had some brief trade conversations, but nothing ultimately came of it. So we decided to sort of talk that through in more detail and air that as a crossover podcast. Again, I was on his show, but we ended up going ahead and using this as a crossover because I think it'd be a lot of interest to you as a listener to go into sort of the trade talks as they typically happen. Obviously, we're not really front office executives, but we both cover the league, and this is sort of how these things happen, right? You just have one executive calls another and just has a conversation about players, about draft picks, about compensation. So, we don't end up making the trade, but I think the process is what is really the takeaway here. So here it is. I hope you enjoy it.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here now with Wes Goldberg over at Locked On Warriors. We wanted to make this a little bit of a crossover episode here because we were loosely discussing a trade in the Locked On mock draft, which, you know, I think there's a few things about this Locked On mock draft every year. One is I think we tend to read more draft coverage from nerdy people who like players more than NBA teams like them, and that ended up kind of playing out. And then I think two is the other thing is I actually do think it can be pretty informative about trade value and what's realistic and what's not. And I think a lot of the time for me, at least with the Suns, I go in expecting to have a lot of options on the table and as far as trades go, and then they really don't end up materializing. That's what happened. You and I both ended up picking players at 2 and 10, even though we talked about trades. So let's start there. I mean, you went with Edwards second overall with the Warriors. I feel like mostly thinking that Edwards would kind of just become the next trade chip in replacement of the number 2 pick after you weren't able to get any traction. But is that how you expect it to play out for Golden State and kind of what happened in the mock for you?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as LaMelo Ball went number 1, which, hey, it's LaMelo Ball week as far as the media is concerned. Last week was James Wiseman hype week. This week is LaMelo Ball hype week. But he's going number 1 to Minnesota in the NBA, in the Locked On NBA mock draft. And that left Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman there at number 2. I think there's been a lot made about Wiseman fit in Golden State. I still think if Anthony Edwards is there at number 2, they end up just going in that direction. I think they have a bigger need on the perimeter than they do at center. And so he was there, and I was really happy with that pick. And I do think that if Anthony Edwards is there at number 2, the Warriors would be happy taking him there at number 2 and just saying, hey, we got the guy that we like at number 2. Let's move on. But as the mock draft went on, Denny Avdija just kept falling. And I don't know if it was a matter of teams just, you know, forgetting that he was available or just didn't think he was the right fit or whatever it was, but I was surprised to see that. And he keeps dropping. And he's there after the 9th pick, and he's there for you to take at number 10 in our mock draft. And I, you know, the Suns and the Warriors have been linked by Twitter mostly in trade talks. Nothing has really happened in real life between those two teams as far as I know, but I basically messaged you on Twitter and I said, what's your interest in Anthony Edwards? Because if my thought process was, I like Anthony Edwards at number 2. I think the Warriors would like Anthony Edwards at number 2. But if Denny is there at number 10, and maybe there's a trade that the Warriors can work out where, you know, you get Denny Avdija and maybe some other sort of asset, whether it be Kelly Oubre or somebody else, it's at least worth considering if you're Golden State. And so I wanted to kick the tires and I messaged you and got your thoughts on it. We batted around a little bit, ultimately didn't come to, like you said, any sort of resolution there. And I think both of us are happy with the pick, but that was sort of my thought process in the mock draft is I got the guy that I liked, but you want to try to maximize as much value as you can.
Yeah, let's maybe hit on some of these players to in this segment, and then maybe get into the trade possibilities in the next one, because I do think when you talk about Anthony Edwards, and I was on the panel for the Locked On mock draft that's rolling out this week on the Locked On NBA feed, and to me it was really weird, because I get it, this draft sucks, and it's the number two pick is the number two pick. You can't really change your circumstances. And so, yeah, I think if it comes down to it, you seem pretty confident that the Warriors would be okay taking Edwards, and it's just kind of the only option available to them in some ways. But do you actually, like, how does he fit there? Because, yeah, the positional need makes sense and all that. But even from a Suns perspective, you know, I think they are trying to fashion themselves as a team who is going to start to prioritize some of the things we know Golden State does as far as decision-making and versatility and things like that. So it just doesn't seem like he's a guy who checks a lot of those boxes, maybe the versatility thing in time, but I just have a hard time understanding how he fits in a rotation that's trying to win games right away. Do you think they see him as that, or do you think they see him as a project if they do draft him?
I think they see him as both. And what the Warriors want to accomplish is, yeah, they want a guy who fits their rotation now, but what they ultimately want to do here with this pick, and by the way, they have Minnesota's lightly protected pick next year, top three protections. They've got basically two bites at the apple, is how they're looking at it, at finding the next face of the franchise. A guy who could sort of bridge, you know, the beginning of this decade to the end of this decade. And Anthony Edwards, maybe more than anybody else in this draft, has just that ability in a vacuum. He's got a better ability than probably anybody else in this draft at creating his own shot. He's got a competitiveness about him that I think teams like. I know that, you know, teams have questioned his work ethic and things like that, but I think the Warriors believe, like, that they're first of all, their developmental program, and that their coaches can get the most out of guys. Guys who maybe had spotty histories, they've tended to take chances on those guys. Now, granted, signing JaVale McGee at the minimum versus using the number two pick on Anthony Edwards are very two different chances. But the upside, the payoff with Edwards is so much greater than guys like Nick Young or DeMarcus Cousins or JaVale McGee. And look, I don't know. To put it lightly. and look, I think there's other guys in this draft that they like that they would be comfortable taking. But if Edwards is there, his upside is just so much greater than what we're talking about with everybody else. And as far as how he fits into the rotation, he's not going to start right away, but that allows you to bring him along slowly. You talk about the questionable decision-making. You're not worried about that at the start or end of games anymore. You can afford to have a little bit. And then, in fact, you probably need a little bit of that, right? You need a little bit of that shotgun mentality, in the middle of basketball games. He could be your primary scoring option off the bench. He can run an offense for you off the bench. If he's going up against opposing second units, he's going to get that much more comfortable and, you know, obviously pad his stats maybe a little bit, become that much more intriguing as a trade piece potentially. But I do think that they would view Edwards as a guy who can come in, come off the bench for you, give you good minutes. And if he kind of hits that versatility defensively, I have no doubt that he could play next to Steph and Clay in the backcourt. And if they think Andrew Wiggins can play some small ball four, there's a lineup that exists with Steph, Clay, Edwards, Wiggins, and Draymond Green at the five. That could work if they can tap into this immense potential that Anthony Edwards has.
Sure. Yeah, and that makes sense. You know, I think the Warriors can afford to – they don't have a ton of depth at all, but they at least have an infrastructure where Edwards is going to come in, and there's going to be no qualms about the fact that he's not the option number one or two on the offense. So.
Were you surprised when I made the Edwards pick at number two? Because Wiseman was on the board there in our mock draft.
I don't like Wiseman in Golden State much either. I know they like that type of rim running five. And like, yeah, he, you know, when you talk about upside, just going for it, that's a guy that I guess I understand. I don't really love much of anybody on that in that group that's realistically going to get taken at number two for them. You know, I've always kind of advocated on the Warriors side for just going for it and saying, like, let's take a Killian Hayes or a Devin Vassell, honestly. Just go for a guy who you know is going to fit better. But I get what you're saying. Like, they don't want to be down here in the draft anymore. So they want to try to maximize the two chances they have at it. It's a crappy spot to be in. I like where the Suns were at 10 and getting, I mean, I don't think, you tell me what you think, because I don't think the Suns are even considering the possibility that Avdija is there at 10, and I don't think anybody realistically expects that to happen on draft night.
Yeah, I would be shocked if he drops that far. And he's another guy that I think the Warriors would really consider at number two, you know, and especially if Anthony Edwards isn't there. There's just not, like, you can, I don't know that there's a great fit for the Warriors and anybody at the top of this draft. Like, LaMelo Ball seems iffy to me. James Wiseman doesn't make a whole lot of sense, even though people want to pencil him in on most mock drafts. Edwards, to me, makes the most sense just as far as upside versatility of that consensus top three group. But I'm like you. I've been advocating, like, just go at, just take Tyrese Halliburton, man. Sure. I love his upside, and I love his fit, and he's just, he's a great locker room guy. I think he fits perfectly with what the Warriors want to do as far as ball movement and versatile defense, off-ball defense, all that basketball IQ, but feel for the game. He checks so many boxes for them, but it's probably ultimately too high, and maybe I still think Edwards has more upside, but I just, given that there's not a great fit, just take the guy you like best, I suppose, and I still think that that would be Edwards. But to go back to that original point, Avdija does make a lot of sense for them too. He could come in off the bench. You know, he can get to the rim defensively. There's a potential for him to be a multi-positional defender. I like his aggressiveness that he plays with. I know that the shot is a major concern. That's really where, you know, believers and non-believers are split on him, is whether or not that jump shot is going to come along or not. But even if it doesn't, he's such a good passer at his height and the defensive versatility that he potentially has. I think that he could play like an Andre Iguodala role for Golden State, you know, as a sixth man and unlock some of these small ball units. But so I was shocked to see him fall all the way to 10 to you. And I don't think he falls that far on the real draft day.
No, I think teams really like him. And I think in a draft where there are so many questions, the way I've been thinking about this one, I know everybody's compared it to 2013. It's like in 2013, right away, you knew that if the Cavs couldn't make it work with Anthony Bennett, that they were just going to be kicking themselves for not taking Oladipo. It was just obvious right away. And you don't want to have the guy who gets taken two spots after where you draft and just know right away that there's a high likelihood that that guy works out better than the guy you took. So just take the guy who you feel better about. And if it means that, you know, you're one of the teams that is part of Anthony Edwards falling, then so be it. But let's get into the trade machinations a little bit here, because I do think it's at least, you know, it seems to be out there. I don't know how real it is. Kelly Oubre is just as questionable of a fit to me as Andrew Wiggins or Anthony Edwards would be, for the same reasons. But let's do that right after this.
Let's talk about Built Go. Whether it's for a mental or physical wall, break through it every day with Built Go. These easy-to-take 1.5-ounce packages are perfect to put in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, or your golf bag to power through the back nine, or just put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy, but without that same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. So how does Built Go work so well? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, a fast-absorbing protein that gets into the system quickly. It's easy on the stomach. It's loaded with a ton of essential vitamins. Plus, collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better and feel better. So visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com.
Okay, so, you know, obviously when you look at a guy like Oubre, the salary is really the reason that I think Golden State would be looking at him. It's something that fits pretty well into that traded player exception that they have, that the clock is ticking on. But we also know that's going to mean they have to pay a pretty hefty tax bill. And to me, no matter what team he's on, I think Kelly Oubre is not exactly the ideal player to pay up for. Not that I care about Joe Lacob's pockets, but it is just not a perfect fit. I think decision making again for him is one of the bigger questions. And I could see him getting to a situation like Golden State and still thinking he's owed 20 shots a game.
Yeah, and that's sort of the concern, right? And again, this might be the Warriors just betting on themselves, betting on their infrastructure, rightly or wrongly, but they have shown a track record of doing that. I mentioned guys like DeMarcus Cousins in the past, Nick Young. Those guys didn't work out, right? And so with Kelly Oubre, you can make a similar bet, and if it doesn't work out, you cut bait, or you're able to maintain that salary cap slot and use that as a trade by the trade deadline, just like they did with D'Angelo Russell and that sign and trade when Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn, right? Like, you got D'Angelo Russell because you wanted to experiment with Russell as a backcourt partner with Steph Curry, but more because you wanted to maintain that max cap slot. And I think with this trade exception set to expire a few days after the draft, I think you would make a move maybe on an expiring contract with that in mind. Yes, you're going to pay a steep luxury tax bill, but with the new salary cap infrastructure and some of this tax relief teams are going to get, maybe it's a little bit more palatable. I agree with you. In a vacuum, Oubre is not the guy I'd make that move for. I don't think that he's worth that luxury tax expense and all those things. But as far as maintaining that cap slot, and the Warriors have such a deep need on the perimeter that if you're able to move back to 10 and get Kelly Oubre, maybe you're not taking – I mean, you're obviously not keeping Anthony Edwards at number two, right? And so maybe you get a little bit more of a stable player there at 10, maybe more of a sure thing there at 10, and then you're able to throw the Oubre thing into the mix just for, you know, chaos sakes. But I think, you know – there's not a lot of great wings in free agency. You know, like Warriors fans talk about like Mo Harkless being like the best case scenario. I'm like, you don't really want Mo Harkless. I don't know what Warriors fans think Mo Harkless is, but
it's a player who plays the position. Yeah.
Yeah. I implore you to go watch Mo Harkless and really tell me that you'd be that excited about him. You know, there's not a lot of wing options out there in free agency and their only options to really address the wing position. You think about it, a year ago, they lose Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, and Sean Livingston. And their only replacement for those three guys so far has been Andrew Wiggins. So it's not that the Wiggins acquisition was not the conclusion of them addressing the position. It was just the beginning. They need to add at least two more guys, I think, to that rotation. And so if you can do that with Oubre with the trade exception, I think you go there. By the way, the only reason I proposed that to you in our mock draft was because Avia was there at number 10. Had he not been there, I would have never proposed it. In real life, I don't think the Warriors would ever drop that far back. I don't think they want to fall below four in this draft. I really don't. Yeah. But if one of their guys is there as happened in our fake mock draft here, then that's why I proposed it to you. But any other machination in that trade, I mean, what would you take if you were Phoenix? Like, is absorbing Oubre's salary into Golden State's trade exception and then Golden State's 2021 first round pick enough?
To give people some context too, the other trades I was looking at involved trading back, because I actually think the Suns, they seem to be circling around some guys that will be available later in this thing, like a Tyrell Terry, Desmond Bane. Those are two names that they've been connected to. Kyra Lewis, who went, I think, 14th in the mock draft. I think that's about where he'll go on draft night. So I think they're more likely to trade back. You know, personally, if it was Killian Hayes involved, a player I really think fits well in Phoenix and fits well next to Devin Booker as a point guard of the future, you know, maybe if you guys had taken him, and we were getting a first round pick in the future and flipping Oubre, you know, that's creating some more salary cap space this year, which they could spend in a market that doesn't have a lot of buyers and, you know, have some future flexibility as well. I would have maybe considered that, but there probably wasn't anything there long term. The thing I like about it from the Warriors' perspective, though, is what you were talking about at the beginning of the nerdy salary aspect of it, which is having that expiring salary. Mm-hmm. Obviously that could turn into cap flexibility, or very unlikely to be space for this team, but, you know, at least some more wiggle room, or you could use it to then retain Oubre if you're able to flip Wiggins next offseason for a star type player. Then you can sign Oubre going over the cap because you would have his bird rights. And then he becomes a pretty solid option if he's suddenly your fourth or fifth best player. I like it in that regard. And I do think Kelly's a guy who gets invigorated by winning, and I could see him, you know, he's not a dumb person or a dumb player. He's going to understand, you know, he bought into his role this year. It's just his decision-making sometimes can come and go. He's gotten a lot better since most fans will probably remember him in Washington in the playoffs. He's been genuinely solid wing. I mean, he didn't get paid $17 million for nothing. He's a solid player, but yeah, it seems like on both ends, it didn't really make a ton of sense. But you were saying that Rubio was another guy you at least looked at.
I really like Rubio is a guy who I've circled as a potential option for the Warriors to use this trade exception on for a long time. I think he, to me, the most jarring thing, and look, I don't expect a lot of people to have watched the Warriors this last season, but the most jarring thing other than Steph and Clay and Durant not being on the floor for them was just how much worse the ball movement was. And I know Rubio's fallen off a little bit as a defender. He's gotten a little bit better as a three-point shooter, but that's, I think, mostly because people leave him open. But he's still this just next-level passer, and I think the Warriors really need that on this team. They just need a guy who can make snap decisions and make smart decisions and who you trust at the end of basketball games. And I think Rubio still has that sort of quality about him. If the Suns sort of find their point guard of the future in this draft or in free agency or whatever it might be, I could see Rubio kind of being on the trade block. And I wonder if it's enough just for the Warriors to say, hey, if you don't want to pay a salary, we'll just take it for you.
I really like the fit too. You talked about the vacuum sort of left by Livingston and Iguodala leaving. And that's to me where Rubio would fill in. I think he's watching him every night this year for the first time. You know, we've all seen his playoff games and everything where he tends to underperform, but getting to see him on a team with like a Devin Booker who was a bona fide number one option, and the team just had a hierarchy that was pretty clear what Rubio needed to do. He wasn't asked to do too much, which I kind of think he was in Utah. As a team defender and like transition playmaker, he's really, really, really good. I think, you know, he gets so much, he just gets colored by the fact that he can't shoot. And it seems like we all decided to stop like paying any more attention than that to the guy. I think his defense is really, really good as a like point of attack guy. Like he's going to get slammed on screens. He definitely got cushioned by playing with Rudy Gobert for a long time, but I mean, the Warriors play defense differently than that anyway. So they need a guy who's going to be able to fit and rotate and, you know, potentially switch here and there and things like that. And I think Rubio can do all that. So I like it. But the only thing for me is I think the Suns value him probably a considerable amount higher than the rest of the league will, just by, you know, he did so much for this team, getting them galvanized on the floor, just showing, you know, being that type of leader guy off the court. Not that they would be, you know, precious about him and not deal him if the trade came, but you know, in that type of situation, it would sort of be a dump. And I don't necessarily think they're in a hurry. I think, especially in this draft, you know, if they had John Morant behind them, sure, they'd probably be looking to move him. There's no sense in keeping him around. But if it's Kyra Lewis or Killian Hayes, like, you're not ready to transition that quickly. Plus, the Suns want to make the playoffs this year.
So what would it take then to get a Rubio? I don't think that the Warriors would offer two and just to move back for 10 and Rubio. That's not quite what Golden State is looking to get out of the value of the second pick. But Golden State's own 2021 first-round pick with throwing in, you know, a guy like Eric Paschal be enough to take Rubio?
Yeah, I'm really, you know, just like taking a step back from the Suns, I'm pretty interested in the 2021 draft. I think even middling picks in that draft are going to be pretty good. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good draft. So, you know, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily likely, but I think, you know, something centered around getting a pick in that draft, getting salary relief by, you know, getting off of Rubio for very little coming back. Maybe, you know, Paschal only makes, you know, first round pick money. So, yeah, I could see something like that working in theory if the Suns were to be really excited about the point guard they got. And, you know, the reality is too, like, this is a team who's been discussed in in Chris Paul discussions. And, you know, they're not necessarily married to Rubio. There's going to always be guards available in free agency. So you could see them reworking the team to where they don't need Rubio quite as much. It's really interesting. I mean, we've heard very little. The Suns don't tend to let much go. I think they really, really like Rubio. but they only signed him to a 3-year deal. It's, you know, and didn't pay him a ton of money. So
the Chris Paul thing to me is
clearly aren't committed.
The Chris Paul thing to me is interesting because his salary is so heavy that even just Phoenix wanting to trade for Chris Paul would be very difficult.
Well, they kind of need Rubio to do it is the problem.
They kind of, right. And so if Oklahoma City doesn't want Rubio, then Rubio could just end up getting dumped on the Warriors. Like the Warriors with this trade exception have, you know, I think we keep Warriors fans at least keep looking at it as, well, who could the Warriors get for this trade exception, things like that. But other than just that, and then the nerdy cap stuff we were talking about earlier, it's a valuable tool in a league where a lot of teams lost revenue and could be looking to dump salary. And I think it's the largest trade exception that's out there this offseason. The Warriors could basically absorb, you know, 80% of the league with that trade exception. And maybe if there's a trade that comes down where Chris Paul is sent to Phoenix and Oklahoma City is not super jazzed about taking Rubio back on a young team, the Warriors could be in a position to just be like, hey, we'll just take him, you know, and just be like the dumping ground for some of this salary.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, when we talked about the Oubre part of this or the Rubio part of this, those are the two, the most exciting part or most intriguing part to me about those from the Suns' perspective is just the cap space, because I think they're in a unique spot right now being one of, if not the only team with cap space, like realistic cap space, not, you know, 2 million or whatever, that is looking to win next season or like has a realistic path to being decently good next season. Like the rest of the teams are Atlanta, Detroit, and Charlotte, teams like that. Nobody, you know, you're not going to go to those teams if you're looking to win games. So, you know, if they do feel like they have a real shot at a good player, a great player in free agency or in a trade, I could see them potentially looking to, you know, they're going to have to dump. They don't have enough to sign a max guy. They have enough to sign like a, you know, $16 to $18 million player. If they want to take a step forward and have room to sign an even more expensive player or absorb a more expensive player, that's where you could start to see them needing to dump Rubio or needing to dump Oubre. And yeah, those guys happen to make pretty perfect amount of money for what the Warriors have.
Right. I mean, just doing the quick math here, what do the Suns have, like $15 million or so in cap space?
Give or take. They have a lot of options and stuff. Yeah.
Right. And then if you just dump Rubio, if somebody out there wants to sign for the max, say like a Fred VanVleet or something like that, you can pretty quickly create that cap space just by dumping Rubio into the trade exception. Like you said, they've got a lot of different options, a lot of different ways that that can happen. But as far as just specific trades, like I think we've kind of passed on the Kelly Oubre thing, but Rubio for the trade exception and Eric Paschal, that's probably not enough to get it done. No first round pick. I think the Warriors would be,
I think you'd got to throw in the 2021.
I think the Warriors would hesitate to do that.
Their own even?
Yeah, because I think what the Warriors are thinking is this pick coming over from Minnesota is top three protected. And this is just my best guess talking to people, but they would love to get into that top three of the draft, and maybe they can do that depending on where their pick falls by, you know, putting together this Minnesota pick wherever it ends up being, and you can use that pick and then your own first round pick to potentially move up in the draft.
I think
they want to maintain that option. Now for the right player, they would part with that pick and say, you know what, well, we can always turn around and trade that player and try to move up in the pick in the draft or whatever. Rubio to me is a really nice fit. I don't know how the Warriors think about him. I've not asked around about Rubio. Same for Kelly Oubre. The idea for Kelly Oubre has come from Twitter, not from the Warriors. Really this any sort of trade with Phoenix has come from Twitter, not with the Warriors. But I just thought it was a couple interesting names to bat around.
Yeah, definitely interesting. I mean, it doesn't seem to be going away. Not that fans continuing to talk about it means there's juice to it, but we know the Warriors only have limited options here with that exception. So the fact that the Suns have two guys who can slide in there makes it worth considering. And who knows, we could see some movement on draft night that involves these two teams. But at least an exercise worth considering on what's probably going to be a pretty great pretty insane draft night. We'll see if anybody ends up happy at the end of it. But this was fun, Wes. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks again to Brendan for having me on the show. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Go for sponsoring the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WCGoldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And I'll see you here tomorrow for our mailbag.